Hey guys, this is Coach Keita Bussey with 180 Firearms Training, Sam Callahan with Callahan Training Group, and today our guest is Raul Mendez from Arizona. Welcome to the 180 Firearms Training Podcast. All right, Raul, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself? Tell us your story, why you're here, whatever you're willing to share. We are excited to hear about it.
Yeah, thank you so much. So yeah, my name is Raul Mendez, and July 3rd of last year, actually my family and I were enjoying, an Independence Day party when a neighbor we had never met, just came in uninvited and started opening fire at all of us. We were in the house.
Do you know what he was opening fire with? What was the weapon?
He had a 10 Glock 19X. So okay. That's actually the first firearm he pulled out. Have a second firearm. Yes, he did have a second firearm that he never got to use. He never pulled it out, but he did have it on him.
Good work.
And what was the second one? Do you know?
I'm not too sure.
Okay.
I'm not
Fair
sure.
Fair enough. Yeah. Okay.
But all I know is that there were two firearms used that night, and it was a Glock, his Glock 19, and my Glock 36 and 45 caliber. So.
Okay.
Yeah. So I guess he started.
And you were carrying that on your person.
I was carrying that on my, yes. I had that concealed, and so, like I said, he just started opening fire at everybody. First victim was a, good friend. He shot him in the throat, shot him twice, died instantly.
Oh, wow.
I was the second
and you
victim.
You saw this.
Actually, my back was turned towards them. I heard the first gunshot, and I turned around, and he actually caught me by surprise. He caught me right here on the side of the head and just pretty much went all up through my whole head and came on my left eye.
Wow.
And so I pretty much hit the ground, and that's when my wife ran to me and tried to get me up.
So wait, you're saying, did it enter your temporal lobe and exit through your eye?
A little below. So down here.
Down by your ear.
Wow. Yes.
Okay. Wow. And it went straight in from there?
Correct.
And exited through your eye.
Through my left eye.
So I'm assuming you were turning around in the process to respond to the gunshot.
Exactly.
I'm just thinking about the parts of your brain
that it missed.
That would have been engaged or missed.
Right.
Wow. So you guys, I'm assuming, was it a big party? Was it noticeable? And then this guy just kind of walked up on you guys, just a happy day turned wrong?
Yeah, so there was probably about 25, 30 of us, including women, children, all families, husbands, wives, kids, just having a good time.
Wow.
He said, I was just going to let you tell your story. I'm like, wait a minute, what about this?
Wow. That's horrible to hear, but incredible that you survived and then were able, and your wife was able to get you up, I'm assuming.
Yeah. Well, like I said, she ran to me. She couldn't get me up.
You were out.
And I was out. I was bleeding, blood everywhere. She thought I was dead, so she actually ran and tried to find the girls, found them in a bedroom. Her two daughters, they were actually there with three other kids, so she put them in the closet, closed the door, barricaded the door with the dresser, and just waited there for him to find them and possibly murder them all.
Wow.
So she is.
She had good instincts, at least going to get the kids and barricading her, but that's a horrifying situation for her to face like that. Wow.
Meanwhile, that's happening, the guy makes his way towards the living room where he just starts shooting everybody that's trying to run out the door, shooting people in the shoulder, shooting people in the back, in the arm, and he actually shot one of the guys in the leg. So he wasn't able to make it outside the house. So he actually just walks up to the friend that got shot in the leg that was trying to make it out the front door and just executes him, shoots him in the top of the head while he's, you know, telling him, I have kids. Why are you doing this? Didn't care. No care in the world. Just went up to him and just shot him in the head.
Wow.
And, you know, that's where he decided to continue to sweep the house and see who else is in there. So he makes his way towards the master bedroom. I mean, you have three women, two children hiding there, and that's where he tries to execute them. Two of the women actually put up a fight. One of them gets shot, you know, three times in the arm, about three times in the arm, once in the leg. She still, you know, gathers the energy to try to wrestle him off.
Yeah.
Another girl comes that's in the master bedroom as well and tries to help her wrestle him off. And that's when, you know, I get up. I hear the screams. I hear the commotion that's going on. Regain consciousness. And that's where I have to decide what I'm going to do next. You know, either run out the back door, front door, like most people did, or run towards, you know, those screams.
Toward or away.
Yeah, so fight or flight. And
fight or flight.
I chose to fight. So
yeah.
I stood up, pulled out my, you know, my Glock.
Goosebumps.
And just walked towards that, you know, went towards that bedroom. And as soon as I saw him, I put four shots in him and just took him out right there.
That's awesome, man. That is a incredible story. So you literally were outside for, I mean, you probably don't know how long. You restabilized, got up and said, let's go to work, man. And just put your CCW to work. That's incredible.
So obviously this man's accuracy was not very good. He's hitting people in the legs and arms and things like that. And maybe at that point realized he actually didn't know how to shoot very well. And then started executing people instead.
I'm not going to assume if he was or wasn't or what the situation was. I really can't say if he was trained or not. Well, trained, I'm sure he was. He was actually ex-military, so he had training. I don't have no military, law enforcement, nothing.
Yeah,
I have no professional training.
I'm just trying to hear this, and I hear an emotionally disturbed person. I hear somebody coming from kind of the left field telling you guys, if you guys aren't sitting there all on edge and you're having a party, I'm thinking you guys aren't ready for this to happen. Meaning this guy's not a known, I don't know, violent person, but I mean, this sounds like
he didn't know them at all.
But I hear Glock 19X, that's a fairly new weapon. That's not some old military weapon that he had from back in the day. He's bought a gun in the last 5 years, probably.
Right.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's pretty crazy information to hear that it was probably an emotionally disturbed person that had issues in the last couple of years. Like, that's crazy to hear, man.
I'm sorry. It was Glock 17.
17.
Oh, okay.
Glock 17X.
17. But still, I mean, it's crazy to hear that. I mean, my wife kind of makes fun of me. I'm from New Jersey, moved to Pennsylvania, and she makes fun of me when I carry to parties and carry anywhere, carry the grocery store. And I'm my big thing is you don't choose the day; it chooses you. And I'm talking to that person right now.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure you all had the question on your mind: why? Did you ever find out why?
No.
Probably never will.
He probably doesn't even know why.
Yeah.
Yeah, he probably doesn't even know why. I mean, the only thing I'm thinking is just, you know, PTSD. I don't know. I can't come up with an excuse for him. It was horrible.
No, nor should you. Nor should you.
I thought about it. But at this point, I honestly, I'm not losing sleep over it.
No, doesn't matter.
It doesn't really matter. I did what I had to do.
Mm-hmm.
He's, you know, buried 6 feet under. And that's all that matters.
Yeah, and you're with your wife and children. So, I mean, that's incredible. I mean, I can't believe the why and the what and all that stuff, but there's never going to be questions. Those questions are never going to be answered. I'm sure that you'd like them to be answered, but they're not going to be. But what was your training leading up to that allowed you to get up and be confident that you could do that?
Just, I mean, being around them. I was introduced to firearms at a young age, probably six, seven years old. That's when I shot my first firearm, and I was hooked after that. Just, you know, my dad, my brother, going out to shoot, just, you know, teaching me gun safety, telling me, and just, you know, just shooting for fun, target practicing, and that's about it. I finally bought my first firearm. I bought a shotgun at 18, a Remington 870. By the time I hit 21, my first pistol was a 1980 nickel-plated Browning High Power. I love that thing. Yeah. That's my baby now with the gold trigger and everything.
Like
yourself. Bought that, and then I went, you know, ARs, and then I started with, you know, other type of pistols, and actually my latest pistol I bought leading up to that, you know, that shooting was that Glock 36. That was my first Glock. Wow. I was like, I'm going to get it in a 45. And I started carrying it, and that thing pulled its weight. I mean, it came through.
Yeah. I mean,
came through, and now
I'm a Glock guy. So I mean, that's incredible. It's you've been a shooter your whole life, which is awesome. So you had the confidence to actually do it. You pulled some triggers for some number of years, and it wasn't a new thing to you. You had some skill set in your subconscious that you knew you could depend on. You knew you'd seen some success on your trigger before, and you put it to work. That's really cool.
Now this is hell, it right, man. Here.
Hell, as it should be. That's the only way a gun should retire, right there.
So it sits right here, right on my desk.
That's amazing.
As a daily reminder of, you know, the second chance God gave me to be here with my family.
Yeah. Yeah, you want to talk about a second chance. Not only did you respond with the pistol, it was after being shot in the literal head. So I couldn't imagine a more incredible story, man. It's amazing.
So thank you. How many people were involved in this mass murder? How many people lost their lives before you regained consciousness?
Two people.
Two.
Two people died, yeah.
But a lot more were injured.
So there was two people died and about a total of five were injured, including myself.
Wow. That's crazy. I mean, I just had a 4th of July party.
Were all the kids okay?
Wow.
I mean, they weren't injured, but I'm sure they're not okay, you know, psychologically.
Right.
Yeah, that's quite a lot to go through as a child. But wow.
Yeah.
Could have been, I mean, you made it so that they're still around. So holy hell, man.
So what happened after you put him down? Obviously, somebody called 911. What was the process after that?
Well, everybody was calling 911. You had people that ran outside dialing. And so one of the persons that was there ends up going back to the house and tries to get my wife and the kids out of the bedroom. And I guess I made a contact with them at some point after, because I'm standing, you know, still bleeding out by at the end of the hallway of where the guest bedrooms are, where my wife and kids are. So they try to get my wife out. She doesn't believe that it's over. And he's like telling my wife, hey, come outside. You know, it's over. Shooter's dead. You know, your husband killed him. Roll killed him. And she's like, what the heck? You're lying. Roll's dead. You know, my husband's dead.
Yeah, like,
he killed the shooter. Yeah, I saw him die, you know?
That's amazing.
He's like, no, like, to come out. And she finally, at some point, decides to come out. She does recognize the voice, that it's a friendly voice. And she comes out. She moves the dresser back. And the crazy thing is, my wife is 7 months pregnant at the time. Yeah.
God, man.
So she's moving dressers, you know, being superwoman while she's 7 months pregnant, you know, protecting other kids. And now she has to protect the kid that she has in that belly, you know?
Oh,
yeah.
That's crazy.
That mama bear instinct.
That's crazy.
I talk about this in my classes, how you gain superpowers when that adrenaline kicks in, especially if you're a mama bear.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So she finally moves the dresser, opens the door. She comes out. She turns to her left, and what she tells me is she sees a zombie. She sees me standing at the end of the hallway, but like a zombie. She just can't explain it. She's like, you look like like those movies, you know, like a zombie from the movies. You're just standing there, and well, you know, she didn't care. She knew it was me. She just runs to me. She doesn't care what blood she gets on herself or nothing. She's just, you know, filled with joy. The girls, you know, run out. My daughters run out and see me. They run to me and just, they grab me. You know, they grab me and just, you know, they're just so,
yeah,
so happy that I'm
I couldn't imagine the emotional roller coaster your wife was on in those, because it probably felt like an hour. What was it? 30 seconds, right? Like something, it was probably a very short amount of time. And I couldn't,
you know, a few minutes, and that fell, you know, eternally to her.
That time dilation that happens when you're adrenaline. We talk about this with competitive shooting. We feel that time dilation when we shoot a stage. I can't imagine how much more it would be.
Oh my God.
When you're protecting your family.
Oh, right.
This is making me cry.
Yeah, it literally gave me goosebumps. That's so crazy. Because that is like a legitimate, I mean, that's a movie right there. That's an Amazon.
Right?
Stuff. Like that's insane. You couldn't write
literally that. Making me cry.
And how long did it take for the actual authorities to get there after everything happened? Because you were the first responder, so I don't want to call them first responders. But when did the next responders get there?
I don't know exactly when, how long that took. I mean, you can only imagine being in a situation like that.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. You were pretty in some trauma, physical trauma.
Determine time and how long it's been and, you know, all that just pretty much goes out the window.
Right, exactly. So my question for you, and maybe not a whole lot happened while you were there. Were you taken in an ambulance right away?
So when we actually walked outside, there was PD already out there, but you could only imagine my wife is holding on to me. We're walking slowly, you know, out to the front, and I'm still holding a Glock in my hand and I'm covered in blood.
And
my
you're wife, not letting it go, probably not even remembering it's still there.
So of course, when I go out, all the PD just pretty much aims their firearms on me.
Oh no.
They're all at me and they're you know, drop your weapon. And you know, the first thing is my wife tells me, like, drop it. They're going to shoot you. You're going to get shot again. So I did throw it. I threw it pretty hard into the rocks, because once I got it back, you could see the big scuffs and scratches of when it hit the rocks. But at that point, you know, they still don't know what's going on. Who's the shooter? Who's down? Who's what? But my wife is yelling, like, this is my husband. He got shot. He needs help. You know, so finally, they just tell her to take me to the corner over there and sit down on the curb while I'm bleeding out, unfortunately. Yeah.
Wasn't there an ambulance there?
Not yet.
Oh, okay.
Not yet. PD had to figure out what's going on, how many injured, you know.
They just started. They responded to gunshots and got there, and they're just looking for a shooter. That's a crazy scene, because I work with a lot of SWAT guys, and I couldn't imagine that call out and run. What are we even looking at right now? Because that, like I said, that's a movie scene. I see a guy walking out covered in blood, holding a gun with his wife on him. Like, that's, oh my God, like, that's insane. Like, we're supposed to be responding to a shooter. He's got a gun. He's covered in blood. That's not normal to see. And then, least you were conscious enough to drop the gun, communicate with them. Everything was cool.
That's a hard job for the police. And even if somebody comes out like this, they could still be the bad guy with a gun and they're faking you out. They don't know. They were doing the best they could, and you were doing the best you could.
And in my neighborhood, I mean, my area, I live closer to like where younger families and retired people live. So I don't live in a rough neighborhood, rough area. Nothing like that.
So it's not expected at all.
This is something that, you know, the police department here, probably something they've never seen the whole time they've been out here.
Right.
You
know?
Oh my God, yeah.
So they don't know what to expect. They don't know. So it's like, well, what do they do?
Yeah.
You know, so of course, they have to assess the situation and see what's going on. And if I was in another state, another area, I mean, I grew up in California, born in Northern Cali and then raised in SoCal. This would have happened in SoCal in my neighborhood, me walking out, I would have died a second time right there. I would have been shot for sure. No questions asked. The PD would have just shot me. bunch of times. Probably would have shot my wife too. Who knows, you know?
Yeah,
it's hard to say.
Yeah, I mean, that's a scary reality that I have to talk to a lot of my students about. Like, what do you do directly after? Because in most cases, if you're in public, I mean, some of your most important, we'll call them witnesses, or the people around you. But in this case, you were with friends and family. So the next responders are going to be the first people you're going to have to deal with. And you're going to have to, despite having the worst day of your life, and for you, it was magnified, because not only did you need to actually shoot, you have been shot, and not only been shot in the head. Like, there's a lot of rationale that needs to go on your brain, and I'm impressed that you had enough composure to even walk out, communicate, listen to the police officers. Like, oh my god,
I'll listen to my wife. That's
it. The better half, man. Better half. I like that. Yeah,
just give him instructions. If she would have not told me to drop it, I probably wouldn't have dropped it. But
were you aware it was even still in your hand, or were you thinking, I better hang on to this just in case, you know? Maybe he's not dead. Maybe he comes back out.
I'm not sure.
At that point, your brain is reacting to
everything that
your brain was kind of mush at that point.
I was running on, you know, I guess adrenaline and that's about it.
Yeah.
Okay. So you obviously still have your firearm. So did the police take your firearm from you?
Yeah, of course. So they took it, took everything. So while I was in the hospital, by the time I got out of the hospital, which was about a week later, a few days later, I finally got my belongings, not my gun though, but just, you know, my phone, my watch, you know, wallet, stuff like that. But the firearm, of course, was, oh no, we can't give it to you until the case is closed. And that was just like their thing.
Yeah, that's normal.
This happened in July 3rd. I got it like in November.
That's when the case was closed.
Yeah, it wasn't too bad. I think it was November.
Don't ever get it back.
Yeah,
a lot of people never. I was pretty persistent, you know, talking to the detective, going to his boss.
Fourth Amendment, right? Is that Fourth Amendment? That you're entitled to your property, basically.
I mean, regardless, though, a CCW case typically has a good guy, bad guy story. This one has a pretty clear-cut one, so I see why you got it back this time. Guys, a one-on-one, because somebody was threatening somebody, I see that gun having difficulty coming back. But you're a legitimate hero who used that gun to stop mass murder, so you deserve to put that in a case and display that.
Yeah. So I actually got it from the lieutenant or sergeant. My detective wasn't there. And so I went up the, you know, the ranks to who I can talk to going in.
Yeah.
And I'm like, hey, I heard the case is closed, but still pending a few things, but they just pretty much closed it. They're still trying to see if forensics can get information from his cell phone, since his cell phone, there's a bullet that went through his cell phone. completely destroyed it. So they're trying to get info. I believe so. My bullet, or I'm not sure whose bullet or what. He didn't really tell me. He just said a bullet went through the cell phone. So, still trying to get info on that. But I guess regardless, you know, they kind of, I don't know what they called it. It's closed, still pending this, because there's still nothing further they can do until they get that info.
Yeah.
Right.
So, I went to the sergeant or lieutenant, I forgot who. Asked them, like, hey, you know, I want my property, this and that. You know, pretty much told them the story, you know, what I was going to do with it. And, you know, this is what I'm really after. I just want my property. And he released it right then and there. He called evidence literally within 2 minutes and had it released and evidence. Said, you can come right now and get it. So I didn't have
awesome.
Got down there and picked it up.
Good. Yeah, coming from Jersey, I don't know if I even would have been given that gun back if that happened in New Jersey. That's why I don't live there anymore.
No, you wouldn't.
Yeah, no, Arizona, I mean, like, that's so scary to hear, man. That's it's incredible to hear. And then really what's incredible is that I was told this case by Kita, and I didn't hear much about this. And most of my gun people don't know much about this, which is unreal that this didn't hit any kind of, I mean, we all know the media doesn't like gun people, but like, holy hell, man, this is an incredible story that just didn't get covered at all.
I had to do a lot of digging to find you.
That's crazy to me.
After it happened, the only people that reached out to me was Fox Local. So Fox Phoenix. I didn't know if I wanted to do anything at that time. So I told him no. He was pretty persistent until finally I was like, okay. I gave him my first interview was Fox. And then after that, it was the NRA. So the NRA flew from Virginia, their mm-hmm. camera people, the digital director and everybody. And we made a video out here.
Mm-hmm.
After that, they got me in contact with other, you know, people. So I started doing different podcasts. That's when Tucker Carlson was still with Fox and he reached out. And so I did a segment with Tucker Carlson. Who else? Yeah, I just did other ones. And then at the NRA annual meeting, that's when we did a second video with the NRA.
Mm-hmm.
And that was kind of same thing, kind of just talking about how, you know, what I did. And I'm sure you haven't even heard about it. And it's kind of getting a little political on there.
Yeah.
Trying to take our guns, trying to take our, you know, Second Amendment and, you know, that
I mean, we stand
Second Amendment.
Yeah. You are the absolute picture of the defense against everything they say. Like, I mean, everybody right now stands up and says we need to take our guns. Your story alone is just like enough to be like, I'm not listening to you guys. And this is why. So I see why they refuse to pick it up. I mean, I understand from a business perspective, but I mean, even from gun owners, I talk about, because I do a lot of CCW stuff and I do stuff with SWAT and I talk about these cases and I couldn't believe I didn't hear about this. And now your case is going to be one of the cases that I talk about and refer to and actually can cite some information on, because this is an incredible thing. Like, it really is. So thank you for coming on and talking to us about this, because I'm still sitting here like, oh my God, like I'm trying to put myself in that situation. And you're a hero. It's the best way to put it.
Yeah. So after all of this, you became a firearms instructor?
It took some time. Of, you know, deciding what I wanted to do and what my calling is, you know, because, I mean, not everybody survives this or does what I do. You know, the way I see it is, like, I just did what I had to do, but just talking to everybody and it just kind of like, nah, man, like, you need to run with this. You know, God gave you second chance, you know, you need to figure out what your calling is here. So I was training with the... with some guy that I had just met right after this happened. He reached out. He's, you know, ex-SWAT, ex-Marine and everything. And he has, you know, his little crew of trainers. So I started training with him and I just loved it. I mean, they just treated me very well and just, you know, hey, we don't expect anything from you, but, you know, you're a hero. We want to train you with your new ability. You know, you're missing an eye. Everything's changed and, you know, we want to get you back up there.
Yeah.
Just training with them just kind of motivated me, I guess, to say, hey, like, you know, I have the story. You know, a lot of people have been reaching out to me, like, hey, what kind of firearm do you use? What's your daily carry? What do you do to train? What do you do for this? Like, hey, man, if I'm ever in a situation, I would love to at least, you know, do half of what you did, you know?
Right.
You're doing to be ready. And it's just all the questions is just kind of... towards like, hey, well, I need to train myself to become a trainer so I can even answer these questions, because yeah. I don't even know what the hell I'm talking about, you know?
You could have been just a hero for that party, but now you're a hero for a lot more people, because now the way I'm looking at it is you're taking that situation and using it to now educate and prevent this from hopefully happening to anyone else, or minimizing the effects or damages in case there was a bad neighbor. Like, that's incredible. Like, you could just be a good guy, have a newspaper written about you and do speeches, or you could instruct people. And I think that's incredibly honorable. It really is. It's very cool.
What did you do before that?
So I owned my own company. So I did home security. Sorry, excuse me. Home security, you know, fire alarms, you know, all that low voltage stuff. So, but mainly focus was like home security systems, commercial cameras.
Oh, isn't that ironic?
All right.
Yeah. Yeah. So now you're still in security, but just a little bit more proactive.
Yeah. So I still have my company after this happened, you know, just being at home, frustrated, I guess that I couldn't really do anything,
Yeah.
you know, paying for the aftermath of, you know, these migraines, vertigo, and
Man.
Losing vision, trying to get comfortable with one eye that still gets blurry from time to time, and, you know, just trying to push forward. I decided to spend as much time as I physically and mentally could studying to get my contractor's license for that, what I was doing before. And so I actually did. I got my contractors. I passed my exams, and, you know, now I'm a licensed contractor for low voltage communication, which is anything to do with that, fire alarms and all that good stuff. So
you're doing both.
Trying to, but you know what? It's just like,
we've both been there.
We know where you're at right now, man. I know.
We feel what you're feeling right now because we've been there.
No motivation to do of what I used to do.
The calling is, it's getting louder. It's getting louder.
Yes. Louder. I need to work. I need to make money, but just have no motivation. So I was talking to my wife yesterday, like, what should I do? Like, I want to stick, you know, to the Second Amendment, something. Like, I don't know what to do. Like, what should I do?
Well, if you're looking to teach a class, I got a place for you, because I know plenty of people who would like to come listen to this kind of stuff and train with somebody such as yourself. And that's, I mean, teaching is a difficult start, but instructing in general is difficult to start into. And I know it's scary coming from another industry, but I was a machinist. I left that job and I couldn't be happier. And I'm not I don't have half the background you do in teaching people to survive, you know? So
I mean, I see
you in our industry.
The good thing with my background, like I was, you know, like I own my company, so I had to coach people before that. So I've been self-employed, what, about 8-9 years already. So before that, I was a branch manager at Wells Fargo. So I would hire people, coach them, and, you know, teach them. And
you're good, so, you know, already
have that customer service or that whole one-on-one coaching people, you know, experience, but nothing on a life or death situation, you know, that just seems like that's at a whole nother level. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, it is, but I have never had to shoot for my life. So you are the expert sitting amongst us three. So I could talk in theory all day long. You have seen the other side of it. So, I mean, it's intimidating. It is, but it's, hey, you've been shooting your whole life. You have a calling now, and there's, I think that's really cool. Well, here's the magic question, though. You still shooting a Glock?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
All right. So after this whole happened, I actually, once I was able to walk and, you know, move around, I took my family to the gun shop. I bought me a Glock 21 SF because I wanted still a 45, but I wanted a man's, you know, full size.
Understood.
I bought my wife a Glock 43.
Awesome.
And then I bought my daughters to share. I wanted that Glock in the 22 caliber. They didn't have it, but I heard a lot of good things of the Taurus, the TX-22.
Yep.
So I ended up going with that. So that's what my
daughter. No, the whole family's training. I like that. Whole family trains. Now I'm assuming you still carry on a daily basis. Does your wife now carry?
My wife carries. She's still not as comfortable. Still trying to train her.
No, it's so awesome to hear, though, because I mean, I've been trying to convince my wife, and I don't want to have to convince her in a terrible way as you had to. But I mean, it's inspiring to hear a mother able to take care of her kids and then reassess her situation and now start carrying. It's pretty cool.
Right. But yeah, I still carry now more religiously than ever.
I bet.
Back day where I would forget.
You never know.
I'm only going to a part or my friend's house. I'm only going to the gas station, and you know. Now it's like, no.
Yeah.
Like, I will not forget. It stays with me.
I get that attitude. I try to preach that attitude. It's not paranoia. It's just the way the world is now. And you are evidence. You could be having fun at your friend's house on July 4th, and all of a sudden somebody has the worst day of their life and makes it your worst day. So it's incredible to hear that the preparation really did it. But, man, that's an incredible story.
Thank you.
What do you think about doing conferences? You know, where you go in you know, speak to people. And you fill a room, you speak to them for 2 hours. They each pay a fee to get in and hear what you have to say.
I don't know if I have enough content for 2 hours, but that doesn't sound like a bad idea.
An hour or whatever you can do.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of people would be really interested to hear what you have to say, and you could make a whole list of things to talk to people about, things people are going to have questions on, answer those questions. I don't know. I think you could help a lot of people that way. In addition, you could add on a range day. Hey, let's go to the conference center and now let's go to the range. Yeah, whatever definitely. You want to do. I see you at the jumping point. And Sam and I were both there. I was a registered nurse. He was I almost said mechanic. I'm a machinist.
Yeah. Okay.
And we both took that leap of faith. And it's right when you don't think you should jump, when you're the most scared to jump, that's when you're supposed to jump.
Yeah.
And you think, I won't be able to provide for myself. Well, the thing is, you can take that leap and fall on your face, and then you get up and do something else, or you take that leap and it works out.
And I fully believe that a lot of people want to hear from you, somebody like yourself, rather than some guy in a red hat at a range and tells everybody the best way to curry. You know, right. I mean, you're the kind of guy that I would send people to for a carry class or a carry seminar or an active shooter or something or other.
Or even adding yourself onto somebody else's class and a reputable instructor. That's very important. So choose a reputable instructor who's teaching concealed carry. And you can come in and you can do your 1 hour seminar or 30-minute seminar, whatever you're good with. And it would add so much value to their class.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I think it's an incredible thing for people to hear. It's inspiring. And it also puts in that real world situation of it's not just because I said so or because I carry a gun because I'm a tough guy. You know, you have a very obviously unique perspective in all of this. And it's, I want to see it shared. That's very cool.
For sure.
Yeah,
Thank you.
Yeah. I mean, go ahead.
One of the main reasons was, not the main reason, but I mean, I guess I had mentioned all those people asking me advice, and now it's kind of like, I'm not going to be that douche and just, you know, ignores everybody. Like, I love teaching. I've always have, you know, recruiting, like even with my company and what I did in the past. So, you know, I just love teaching. And so this just kind of went perfect. And it was like, I have the story.
Yeah.
And, you know, now I can, you know, actually train them. And, you know, to if they ever got in that life or death situation. So, you know, you tell them the story, you inspire them that it can't happen to anybody.
Yep.
You know, it can happen to you. And it just kind of opens them up to like, hey, I'm going to listen to this guy. But, you know, I got to have a good curriculum. I got to, you know, have some good stuff to teach some bad habits or anything. So that's why I have really been holding back on teaching. I got this curriculum to first, you know, train my family. But of course, you know, then, you know, train other people.
Mm-hmm.
But
I know there's a whole group of people out there. I just hosted something called the Modern Warrior Conference up at Double Eagle. Somebody just did it's like a 20-minute review video, and you could see what we do up there for the 2-3 day class. But it's exactly what you're talking about. It's general preparedness for anything. And the last thing they did is a family unit where you train with your family. How do you keep your kids safe? How do they listen to you? How do you communicate? How do you move? There's a growing market out there right now, because I don't mean to be
making daunting. A plan.
Yeah, I'm just a realist in that the government, everybody kind of agrees now, the government's not really coming to look after you anymore. And everyone's coming to that realization, and everyone's starting to formulate a plan. And I'm not talking politics, I'm just talking both sides now. And hearing somebody who was at a party with their family, they weren't at some gun show, and I wasn't, you know, I was at a party with my family and my friends. And this is what I think that's a important thing to preach to people for preparedness. If you're going to be a protector of the family, do you have a plan? Are you actually a protector? Or are you just acting? I think this is the perfect kind of thing, because you had the physical ability, you had the tools with you, you had the mental fortitude to walk through getting shot. I mean, that's something that needs to be discussed with a dad who has 3 kids and carries, you know, like, I think that's
one on the way.
Yeah.
So I think if you're looking to form a curriculum or set up things that you want to, you know, talking points or answering people's questions in a group setting, anything like that, I would be more than happy to work with you on that. I've worked with instructors around the world on these kinds of things.
Yeah, please.
Or shooting specific purposes.
We were joking before. We're good at very specific things. I'm good at setting up stages and teaching shooting. But I will very, very gladly lend those skills to somebody who is putting out like good content in the rest of the world. Like that's something that I'd be very happy to throw something at.
For sure.
And I'm good at writing and making lists and curriculums and speaking points.
For sure.
Yeah.
If you need help with that, I'd be happy to help you out.
I appreciate it. I did have an idea to do like training content just on social media. That way, larger reach. And, I'm not looking to, to charge people on everything, to inspire them or nothing like that, My calling was to like help people, not to try to make a business, try to take advantage of people. So my idea was just to like kind of create content and start from the basics, start from the beginning. Like if I'm speaking to a child, like, hey, this is a firearm. This is the types of firearms. This is what this one's used for. Many people use this for this. And then, kind of, bring it up. So have some content to where they could just like watch my videos, from day one and be like, okay, introduction to this, to like starter.
Coming from a survivor and a family man, I think that's a great way to start introducing people to guns, because I've been competitive shooting my whole life, and it's hard to talk to people without them seeing me as some gamer, right? They don't see you as a gamer, they see you as a hero or a survivor or somebody who's a father who saved his family. So it's easier to convince another dad, or another mom to come in
perspective.
Yeah.
Like I had this one guy reach out to me like, hey, man, thank you for your video. The one that I did with the NRA. And they're like, I think it was his mother-in-law was anti-gun and, all this stuff, like just didn't want him around. And he showed her my video and that she broke down and like, this is real. Like, yeah, like, look, like he actually reached out to me like, look, I'm talking to him on Instagram and this is what really happened to him. And it's not fake news. And
no, that's
who she ended up buying. She ended up buying her first firearm.
Yes.
That's amazing. You got somebody who was anti-gun to get their first gun. Like, I'm never going to get that crowd. You will. That's amazing.
Yes.
And that's training. And you know what? She's older. She's like, she's 70 something, but she doesn't care. Like, she's training now. And I'm like, damn, like that's
awesome.
You're the kind of instructor I want in the industry right there. That is a bigger effect of the industry than most people who sit there and beat their chest about how awesome they run their line. That is awesome.
So something else I wanted to ask you about while we've got you here is your vision with shooting. So obviously your peripheral vision going off to the left gets caught up on your nose and you can't see anything.
I can't see my hand in here. I can't.
Yeah, so your visual field ends here.
Yes.
So it's like this.
So I can see the tip of my finger now with my left, but then it disappears. So yeah.
But I've been watching your eye and the way it moves. You have already learned to compensate. Your eye has more motor control than most people have. You can actually get your eye way over farther than most people do just because they don't have to.
Right.
So your muscles are already starting to compensate, which is really cool. So you've already increased that field of vision from maybe like here to here.
Right.
That's pretty cool to see. Yeah, and you just did it.
Do you shoot with a red dot or iron sights?
That was my next question.
I've always shot with iron sights. Okay. Always, always, always. I just bought my first set and I actually went green dot. Because they say with, vision issues and all that, it's soft on the eyes. So
yes. We pick I up just the spectrum picked up green. A green dot. Yeah.
I prefer green as well for the same reason.
Yeah, no, so does Tim Heron. We were just having that conversation. I've just been shooting red for so long.
Other reasons too. But yeah, I prefer green.
But that's interesting. So have you tried the red dot stuff? How is it with single eye shooting?
I have. I like it. It's something that I wasn't used to, but I like it.
My man. All right. That's different. Awesome. Yeah.
So the harder thing for you with only having one eye to use. And I do train people who only have one eye or have like partial use of their other eye. The thing they have trouble with is having that soft focus to pick up your target and just kind of see everything and, oh, I have to go here now. Oh, I have to go here now. Because you only have one eye, it's harder to have that soft focus. Have you experienced that at all?
Yes and no, maybe at first. But you know what? I'm just getting so used to having one eye.
Yeah.
It's a learning curve.
I mean,
it's really just accommodation muscles.
Correct, accommodation. And I guess, honestly, it goes back, like, even when I was training to become an instructor, you can have one eye. As long as you go back to the basics and the fundamentals, I mean, you're going to hit the target. You're going to be right on target. And so it kind of, everything plays a role. But, you know, even though your eyes could play a trick on you, but, I mean, it's just, you just really got to train and just focus on it and just overcome any little obstacle. Again, if I'm going to let one eye or little things like that of like, hey, I see double or I see this or I'm having issues with this going to stop me, then you know what? I should just stop what I'm doing now.
Yeah, you got the right attitude, man. You're just fine.
Any little obstacle is not going to stop me, you know? I could probably be blind from both eyes and still want to go shooting, you know? Just help me out.
Hell yeah, man.
Just shoot forward, okay?
Point in the right direction. Hell yeah.
Point in the right direction and let's go, you know? But
I love it.
Well, if you haven't tried it yet, have you tried target-focused shooting?
What is, like?
So normally when you're trying to aim and you're first learning, you're focused hard on that front sight.
Right.
And as you develop and grow and get more proficient, you start to focus on the target. And the front sight just sort of superimposes on what you're looking at, which is the target, not the front sight. You're still aware of it.
Yeah.
You've done that?
Yeah, for sure. I have an NRA counselor and then my other trainer, you know, little tips and tricks and little things like that. Like they tell me, focus on the target. Okay. I just don't really know the names of how, but you know, just the little things like, hey, focus on the target. Just go back to the fundamentals, pointing this way and, you know, just shoot and just don't focus on the sights. So eventually, you know, we'll line up and things like that as you start, you know, focusing on the fundamentals. And I'm assuming that's the same thing as what you're kind of telling me.
Tim Heron would be excited to hear this right now. He'd be so happy to be hearing this. He's like, you basically don't need the sights, is his attitude.
He's a very good instructor from New Mexico.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, actually.
You know, at the same time, as you're holding a firearm, you know, you're using your thumb or whatever as like a...
As an index, sort of.
You were so good at pointing. It's like, hey, you point, and I can easily point at something on my wall without even looking at it, and it's right on the money.
And that's where your bullet's going to go.
That's
where your bullet
is. As long as your grip and trigger is pulled straight, you're good.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Just kind of just focus like that. Just don't even look. Don't even that. Just point.
It's becoming more and more common, so it's funny to hear it from this side, too. It's good.
Yeah. Okay, so if anyone wants security for their house or they want some firearms instruction from you, where can they reach you?
So I do have a website, but that just kind of goes back to all my social media links and stuff like that. But a lot of people have been reaching me on social media. But that website, it's ga110ent.com. And that's a story for another time of why that name, but that's from way before.
Thank you so much for coming on. We really appreciate hearing your story. My left eye has not stopped watering since you made me cry. I've been like this the entire show.
Oh, man.
Yeah, thank you for sharing the story. It really is like, it's an inspirational story. It's not, I'm not like a typically like a feely, corny kind of person, but like, oh man, that is like, that's.
It hit me so hard because I have kids, so I understand. And my daughter's having her 16th birthday party today. So I'm having a bunch of kids over. I'm like, I'm going to make sure I have that on me just in case.
Always.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate that, you know, we got to have that mentality. You know what I mean? That, oh my God, we got to carry a home. We got to carry here. No matter where we go.
Yeah,
it's unfortunate, but You know what? It's like at this point, you can either cry over it or do something about it. And it is what it is. It's like, you know, we're good people. I'm a good person. And, you know, that's the only thing I can do is just teach those morals to my family, to my kids, and just teach them at the same time that there is evil out there. And like, we got to be prepared for it. And now
Overcome.
they're proof, you know, they're firsthand proof that they saw, you know, daddy get shot. You know, my wife saw her husband get shot, and evil was just trying to, you know, take them all out.
You
And that
don't
we
have
have
it
to be
on you
prepared.
because you want to use it. You don't want to use it.
I don't
You
want to
have it
use it. I
on
always tell my
you.
wife that. Why do you carry it? Like, I don't carry it because I want to use it. I carry it in case I have to use it to protect you guys. You
Exactly.
know, and it paid off.
Yep.
You know, and
When
it
you have
paid off.
little ones and loved ones, you can't take that risk of not caring.
Exactly. So that's pretty much why I spoke up and, you know, started making videos and linked up with the NRA, because you don't hear about the good guy with the gun. If I had died and everybody in
Exactly.
the house had died, oh, you best believe the nation would have heard it. You would have heard it. Oh my God, mass shooting, everybody died. Horrible. And then, of course, the agenda would have been, this is why we need to ban guns. But because I didn't, you know, it's not part of the agenda. They can't say, oh, he
Exactly.
stopped the mass shooting, so ban guns. Like, no, he stopped the shooting with a gun and saved his family with the gun. So
Exactly.
that's why it's buried under the rug, you know. So that's the main reason why, you know, I feel like I need to speak up, because you don't hear stories like this. I
Yeah,
am that living proof that, you know, good guys with the gun do save lives. And, you know, there's just so many people that go unheard of, you know, millions that go unheard of. And, you know, if I can at least be that one, then impact at least one person's life to say, hey, I'm not against guns anymore.
get that
They
one
serve a
soldier already
purpose.
did.
Then, you know, if I did it to one, then, you know, I'm going to continue to push this, and hopefully there will be more.
Yeah. Well, good. Seriously, please continue sharing the story. I will continue talking about the story after. I mean, you better believe I'll be telling people about this after all my students will hear about this.
Thank you.
My people, all my people will hear about this. So thank you for coming on and talking to us about it. Thank you for sharing the story. And
Yeah,
please
my pleasure.
continue sharing that story. Continue sharing. Keep training. Keep pushing, man. We need
You know,
people.
I'm a firm believer in the more times you tell the hard story, the easier it gets to tell it, and you did very well with that today. I lost it, and you kept it together.
Yeah.
So you did a very good job, and thank you
Yeah.
so much. One more quick thing. You're
Go
right
ahead.
eye dominant and right hand dominant.
Yes.
Okay, cool. Just wondering.
So my good eye, or my dominant eye, survived, and yeah,
That's
worth
lucky.
it. I could feel her making fun of me with my cross dominance. Like I could feel her making
Oh,
fun
you're crossed out.
of me.
Oh,
I could feel her making fun of
man. My goal in
me.
life is making fun of Sam.
I just have to sit here and go, I know it's coming.
So you're right-handed but left eye dominant? Correct.
Yes, he is.
That's a tough one, but
It's weird. I'm a weird one. It's okay. It's all right. I just made my second grandmaster this week, so everybody can tell me whatever they want to tell me. I don't care what they have to say anymore. And they're both
Exactly.
with Glocks, my friend. Both of them were with stock Glocks.
Nice. Like I said, man, if a little thing like that can stop you, or, you know, from being motivated to do what you want to do, then we don't
This isn't
deserve
for you.
to do it,
This
you
isn't
know?
for you, man. Good stuff. I love that. You're right.
Well, thank you so much again for coming on.
My
We really
pleasure.
appreciate you sharing your story. It was
My pleasure.
intense.
Well, thank you so much,
And
Kita,
one more
Sam.
time, where can people reach you? One more time.
GA110ENT.com. So yeah, GA110ENT.com.
Okay. Thank you
Cool.
so much.
You're
Y'all
very
have a
welcome.
great day.
Me too. Thank
Take
you,
it
guys.
easy.